Since March 2007, one online audio production group has pushed the boundaries.
Broken Sea Audio Productions presents Maudlin.
It's sounding board. Audio drama with Lumpy Bits.
You have been listening to Jake Sampson.
Broken Sea Audio Productions presents
My name is Feedback, and these are my stories.
Last time on Gaia's Voyages.
This is the Broken Sea Audio production of Escape from New York.
OTR Swag Cast.
Doctor Who, starring Mark Telita as the Doctor.
BrokenSea.com. New audio every Thursday.
And now, it's time for the Broken Sea Audio Production, OTR Swag Cast.
Some of you may not know that I served 5 years in the United States Navy on board the USS Kitty Hawk and the USS Nitro. So tonight we're going to do some seagoing fare with a radio play that was based on the movie Mr. Roberts. How cool is that? Fantastic movie, and hope you enjoy.
From New York, where the American stage begins, NBC presents Best Plays, transcribed with John Chapman. Mr. Roberts by Thomas Hagen and Joshua Logan. Mr. Chapman.
Good evening and greetings. We are happy to return to the NBC network with a new series of Best Plays, and we are putting our best foot forward with the first broadcast anywhere of one of the most popular and most distinguished comedies of our modern theater. It is Mr. Roberts by Joshua Logan and the late Thomas Hagen. You will this evening be using your imagination, as all playgoers must in any kind of theater. I would like you now to imagine the Alvin Theater here in New York on the opening night of February 18th, 1948. The audience was fashionable, distinguished, and alive with excitement, for the Broadway grapevine had passed along the word that here was something special in the way of a play, a production, and a performance. As the curtain was lowered on the final scene, there was a roar of cheering. Finally, Henry Fonda stepped to the stage apron to express thanks, and he drawled, "Well, I guess the only thing we could do is to start it all over again." And all of us there would have sat right through a second performance, but such a thing wasn't possible. I think we're going to have a fine performance now of Mr. Roberts. Imagine now a theater stage, or soon, I hope, a motion picture screen. The time, a few weeks before VE Day. The place, the U.S. Navy cargo ship AK-601, somewhere in the Pacific. It is war. Around the world, fighting men crouch alert. On naval vessels, lookouts scan the skies anxiously.
Now hear this. Reveille. I repeat, reveille. Attention all hands. Because another cigarette butt has been found in the container of the captain's palm tree, there will be no movies again tonight. That is all.
All right, get the decks. Rise and shine. Greet the new day. Off your hock and grab your sock.
Reveille! Reveille!
Okay, Chief. You've done your duty. Now get your big fat can out of here.
Now hear this. Now hear this. C and E and S divisions and all pharmacist mates will air betting today. Positively.
You, Doug?
Oh, Doc, what are you doing up so early?
Well, I heard you were working cargo today, so I thought I'd get ready. In days when there's any work to be done, I can always count on a big turnout at sick call.
Yeah.
I had tracked some very rare diseases on cargo day. The day when they knew you had five ships to load, I was greeted with six more cases of beriberi. Double beriberi this time. So help me, I'm going down to the ship's library and throw that old copy of Moby Dick overboard.
What are you giving him these days for double beriberi?
Aspirin, what else? Something wrong, Doug?
Nah.
Yeah, we missed you when you went on watch last night. I gave young Ensign Pulver another drink of alcohol and orange juice, and it inspired him to relate further amorous feats of his.
Did he tell you about the time he overwhelmed a 45-year-old maiden? At the simple tactic of being the first man in her life to ask her a direct question.
No, but some of the things he related positively bordered on the supernatural. I don't know what to do about young Pulver. Perhaps I should report his record to the American Medical Association. Hey, there is something wrong, isn't there?
I've been up all night, Doc.
Yeah? What's the matter? What is it?
I saw something last night that just about knocked me out.
What happened?
I was up on the bridge. I was just standing there looking out to sea. I couldn't bear to look at that island anymore. All of a sudden, I noticed something, little black specks crawling across the horizon. I looked through the glasses, and it was a formation of our ships that stretched for miles. Carriers and battleships and cans, a whole task force, Doc.
Why didn't you break me out? I've never seen a battleship.
They came on and passed within a half a mile of that reef. Carriers so big, they blacked out half the sky. Battle wagons sliding along, dead quiet. I could see the men on the bridges. And this is what knocked me out, Doc. Somehow, I thought I was on those bridges. I thought I was riding west across the Pacific. I watched them till they were out of sight, Doc, and I was right there on those bridges all the time.
Yeah, I know how that must have hurt, Doug.
Then I looked down from our bridge and saw our captain's palm tree. Our trophy for superior achievement. The Admiral John J. Finchley Award for delivering more toothpaste and toilet paper than any other Navy cargo ship in the safe area of the Pacific. Read this, Doc. See how it sounds.
What is it?
My application for transfer. I've been rewriting it ever since I got off watch last night.
Not another one.
This one's different, Doc. I'm trying something new, a stronger wording. Read it carefully.
From Lieutenant J.G. Douglas Roberts to Bureau of Naval Personnel, 16 April 1945, subject change of duty request for. Boy, this is sheer poetry.
Go on, Doc.
For 2 years and 4 months, I have served aboard this vessel as cargo officer. I feel that my continued service aboard can only reduce my usefulness to the Navy and increase disharmony aboard this ship.
How about that?
It is therefore urgently requested that I be ordered to combat duty, preferably aboard a destroyer.
What do you say, Doc? I got a chance, haven't I?
Listen, Doug. You've been sending in a letter every week for goodness knows how long.
Not like this one.
And every week the captain screams like a stuck pig, disapproves your letter and forwards it that way.
That's just my point, Doc. He does forward them.
Doug,
just
look,
because...
Look. The captain of a Navy ship is the most absolute monarch left in this world.
I know that.
If he endorsed any of your letters approved, your orders would come through like that. But disapproved, you haven't a prayer. You're stuck on this old bucket. Face it.
Well, it's still a chance, Doc. It's still a chance. I'm sorry you ever saw that task force, Doug.
Well, I've got to go down to my hypochondriacs.
Morning, Mr. Roberts.
Morning, Dowdy.
Even hotter up here than it is down in that mess hall.
Look at that cruddy island. Smell it. It's hot, it already smells like a hog pen.
You think we got out of here today, sir?
I don't know, Dowdy. The three LCMs coming alongside for supplies. You getting up yet?
Yeah, they're starting to stumble around down there, that poor punch drunk.
Mr. Roberts, when are you going to the captain again and ask him to give this crew a liberty? These guys ain't been off this ship for over a year except on duty.
Dowdy, the last time I asked the captain was last night.
What'd he say?
He said no.
We gotta get these guys ashore. They're going Asiatic.
Will you see him again anyhow, Mr. Roberts?
You know I will, Dowdy. In the meantime, have Dolan type that up for me, will you?
Oh, your letter. Yes, sir.
Now hear this. Sweepers, man your brooms. Give her a clean sweep down fore and aft. Sweep down all ladders and all passageways. Do not throw trash over the fantail. Now sick call will commence immediately.
Now.
Say, Doc, when I woke up this morning, I...
And well, I remembered you were working cargo. Continue.
Honest, Doc, I couldn't even straighten up. I guess it's the old appendix again, huh, Doc?
That appendix of yours certainly gets around, Reba. Now it's on the wrong side. Two aspirin, marked for duty. Next.
Aspirin? For a floating appendix, Doc?
Yeah, it's the latest thing. I'll have one with you. Next.
Well, where do you hurt?
It's my head, Doc. It's my head.
Dizzy?
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
Ringing in your ears?
Well, I mean, it's all the time, Doc.
Like bells?
That's it, Doc, like bells. Huh? That, Doc.
How do they go? Dong dong, ding ding, or ding dong? It's important.
Ding. Dong? Dong ding?
No second guessing. Too bad. Should go dong dong. One aspirin, mark for duty.
There is now available at the ship's store a small supply of peanut brittle. Ship store will be open from 1300 to 1315.
Your signer? Got a real special job for you. You stay right here and clean these binoculars for the bridge.
Now let me work up forward, Chief. I want to be around this crud man you.
Yeah, Chief, take Insignia with you.
Oh, get lost.
You dirty. Cut it out, now, both of you. I'm tired of you two bellyaching. Now go on, get scraping.
Hey, Steph, which end of these binoculars you're supposed to look through, huh?
Well, I guess it's optional on Cigna. Depends on what size eyeball you got.
Hey, what time would it be in San Francisco?
About midnight last night.
Midnight last night? Hey, the Japs must have took over that island. There's a red and white flag on that new building.
Japs? We ain't been within 5,000 miles of any Japs.
Japs, you hear that, Wiley?
Smart, ain't ya?
That's a hospital flag.
Hey, Steph! Hey, they got a fancy building on that island. Yeah. Hey, they got big windows and... Holy cow! Holy cow, they got nurses on that island! That nurse! She's taking a shower! Yeah, look! Look, second story. See, she's a blonde, see?
Get off my
back. Ah, knock it off.
I never seen such a beautiful girl.
She's sure taken a long time in that shower.
Yeah, honey. Come on over here by the window.
How do you use this thing?
Oh, there's another one over by the wash station taking a shampoo. Ah, she's got a bathrobe on.
What a stupid way to take a shampoo with a bathrobe on.
What's stupid about it? You think she wants to... Wow! Please, fellas, come
hey,
on.
Didn't I tell you she was beautiful?
Yeah, man. I can't even see the island.
So long, Blondie.
Uh-oh. Here goes the other one.
Imagine that pig not taking a shower.
Oh, come on, girls. Who's next?
I'll get it. Yeah. But there ain't no one in there now.
Hey, yeah, sweet, try mine. They must think we got nothing better to do than stand here.
See anything, Mannion?
They're gone.
Why, you dirty, miserable sheep.
Ah, it's too bad. There were three in a minute ago. One was just about to take a
jump. Wait, Peep and Tom.
Who's the Peep and Tom?
Mother, we got a friend on the ship. Don't start to smell. I'll trip. I'm going to fly out with you.
All right. Get below all of you. Sash your heads.
Hold it right there, mister. What's that man doing on deck without a shirt?
I was just speaking to him about that, Captain.
I want that man put on report. I don't want no one on deck without a shirt. Is that clearly understood?
All right. Keep your shirt on. All of you.
Seen that, sir. Last night down in the compartment, I stopped three of them flights. Worse than that, they gotta have a liberty, Mr. Roberts.
Yeah, they sure do. Dowdy, call a boat for me, will you? I'm going ashore.
What are you
going
to do?
I just got a new angle.
You're not going over the captain's head.
No, I'm going around his end, I hope. Get the lead out, Dowdy.
If I could be with you 1 hour tonight.
Hey, what's new, Doug boy?
I'm going to take a launch over the island.
Over to the island? Hey, how'd you like some company, Doug? I'll go get some aspirin for Doc. You know what, that new hospital they're starting to build? What's the matter?
Why, Frank Thurlow Pulver. Huh? You mean to say you'd be willing to unglue yourself from that sack for the purpose of doing a favor for someone else?
Now, let's just not have any more of that usual attitude towards Pulver, boy. I said one simple
okay,
thing, I'd be perfect.
Frank, okay, real.
Well,
okay.
I could be with you tonight. If I could be with you an hour tonight. See you later, Doug boy.
Okay.
Do the things I might. I'm telling you truth. I'd be anything but blue if I could be with you. Oh, if I could.
Hey.
Ah, welcome aboard.
Oh, my goodness. Attention.
Well, this is going to be all right. Yeah, well, you girls just got in here, huh? Where are you from? No, don't tell me. Let me guess. Hey, how many of you girls are there?
Captain, aren't you going to answer our salute?
Answer? Sure, yeah. It'll make you feel any happier.
We thought maybe we were doing it wrong, Captain. You see, we haven't had much experience.
Well, that's wonderful.
Is that your battleship in the harbor, Captain?
Not exactly, no.
Is there anything you want?
I mean, anything in particular?
No, nothing I can think of in particular.
Oh, aspirin. What am I saying? Aspirin. I got a requisition right here. Aspirin right here.
All right, right this way. Get back to work, men.
Carry on there, men. You know, I'm actually not captain of that AK.
Oh, no kidding.
I'm, the exec.
Certainly must have an awful lot of BF.
Who, me? What do you mean, me?
Battle fatigue with all this aspirin.
Oh.
Seen a lot of action?
Well, I, sure as heck haven't seen much action this past year. You mean battle action? Well, I got a little shrapnel in my left leg, but it's, it gives me a twinge now and then.
Well, I hear that scotch works wonders.
You like scotch?
I was acquiring a taste for it before they shipped us out. Here's your aspirin.
Thanks. Would you, like to come out to the ship this afternoon?
Sorry.
Because, it just so happens I have a bottle of Red Label in my cabin.
The shore boat at the dock at 1800 minus 10.
Oh, will I? 1800 minus 10. Let's see, 1218 is simply
being. It's 10 minutes to 6.
Yeah.
Oh, I see I caught your interest. I don't want these other girls to hear, but if you were to come over alone this afternoon.
Here's your letter, Mr. Roberts. I typed it up. Just sign your old John Henry here, and I'll take it to the captain. Then hold your ears. Mr. Roberts. Oh, it's only you, Ensign Palmer. What are you doing, Mr. Roberts' locker?
There's a shoebox in there somewhere, Dolan. I can't find it. Well, it's stolen, that's all. There's just nothing they'll stop at. Broken right into the sanctity of a man's own locker.
Hey, Mr. Roberts back in the island yet?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Well, as soon as he gets back, have him sign this, baby.
What is it?
What is it? It's the best letter Mr. Roberts writ yet. It's gonna blow the old man right through the overhead. This letter's liable to get him transferred.
Let me see that.
Get a load of this line right here.
Increased disharmony aboard this ship.
Ain't that a kick? Oh, I can't wait to jab this baby in the old man's face. You know how he gets sick to his stomach when he gets extra mad at Mr. Roberts?
Yeah.
When I deliver this letter, I'm going to take along a wastebasket. Let me know when Mr. Roberts gets back.
Mm-hmm. Well,
vicious fight you ever saw in your life. And after Dowdy and I broke up the fight, I figured I had to do something and do it right away. Hey, Frank, Dolan been in here with my letter?
I don't know, Doug Boy. I just came in here myself.
Doug, you don't know anyone on that island, do you?
Yeah, the port director. The guy who decides where to send this ship next. A Liberty port, for instance. Dowdy tipped me off. He used to drink a quart of scotch every day of his life.
Doug, you didn't give that shoebox to that port director.
I did. Compliments to the captain.
You've been hoarding a quart of scotch in a shoebox?
I was going to break it out the day I get off this ship. Resurrection Day.
You wasted that bottle of scotch on a man?
Will you name me another sex within 1,000 miles?
What's eating you anyway, Frank?
Well, look at the fancy pillows.
Somebody expecting company?
Lord.
To Jean Lamour, souvenir of San Diego. Oh, you kid.
Tonight or never. Compliments of the American Harvester Company. We plow deep while others sleep. Doc, that new hospital hasn't got nurses, has it?
It didn't have yesterday.
It has today.
And how did you find out they were there?
Just came to me all of a sudden. I was lying on my bunk here this morning, thinking, and there wasn't a breath of air. All of a sudden, a funny thing happened. A little breeze came up. And I took a big, deep breath, and I said to myself, Pulver, boy, there's women on that island.
Doc, you know a thing like that could make a bird dog real self-conscious.
They flew in last night. Knockouts and one big blonde especially. See, of course, she went for me right away, naturally. So I started to turn on your old personality, you know, and I said, isn't there anything in the world that'll make you come out to this ship with me? And she says, yeah. She said, yes, there is one thing and one thing only. A good, stiff drink of scotch.
I'm sorry, Frank.
Oh, yeah, you're
sorry. I'm really sorry. Your first assignment in the year.
I was going to bring her right in here. Had all my old pillows out. Slip her a couple of fast slugs of scotch and... without that scotch, she wouldn't... She just wouldn't, that's all.
Doc, let's make some scotch.
Scotch?
As naval officers, we're supposed to be resourceful. Frank here's got a great opportunity, and I've let him down. Let's fix him up.
Right. Frank, where's the rest of that alcohol we were drinking last night?
Well, now that ain't even the right color.
Quiet, boy. Color. Coke. You got any?
I haven't seen a Coke in 4 months. No, it's 5 months.
Oh.
I forgot I had it.
What shade would you like?
Shade?
Pale? Smoky?
Oh, well, I told her red label.
Red label?
Red label.
Yeah, well, it may look like it. It sure won't taste like it.
Doc? What does scotch taste like?
Tastes like,
You know what it's always tasted a little like to me? Iodine.
Of course.
One drop of iodine for taste.
Let me try that.
This calls for a medical opinion.
How about it?
We're on the right track. Now we need a little something extra for age. What have you got there, Dad?
Seltzer, bismolino fruit salts, hair tonic.
Hair tonic. That's got a coal tar base. One drop of hair tonic for age. Gotcha. That'll age that daylight side of it. That's it.
You know, it does taste a little like scotch.
Do you know it does?
Smooth! That dumb little blonde will never know the difference.
All right, Frank. Doug and I made the scotch. The nurse is your department.
Oh, she won't know the difference. She won't know the difference. Thank you, Doc. She'll never know the difference. Oh, you won't know the difference, will you, baby? No, you won't. Oh, no, you won't. Thank you, Doc. Thanks, Doug. You guys are wonderful to me.
Don't mention it, Frank. I think you almost deserve it.
You do, really? Or you just give me the old needle again. What do you really think of me, Doug? Honestly.
Frank, I like you. There's no getting around the fact you're a real likable guy.
Yeah? Yeah. But what?
Well, I also think you're the most hapless, lazy,
disorganized, and in general, the most lecherous person I've ever known in my life.
I am not.
You're not what?
I'm not disorganized, for one thing.
Have you ever in your life finished one thing you started out to do? You sleep 16 hours a day. You pretend you want me to improve your mind. You've never finished one book I've given you to read.
I finished God's Little Acre, Doug.
I didn't give you that. He's been reading God's Little Acre for over a year now. He's underlined every erotic passage and added exclamation points. And after a certain pornographic climax, he's inserted the words, well written. You're the laundry and morale officer. I doubt if you've ever seen the laundry.
I was down there only last week.
And you're scared of the captain.
I am not scared of the captain.
Then why do you hide in the passageway every time you see him coming? You're scared of him.
I am not. I'm scared of myself. I'm scared of what I might do to him.
What you might do to him? Doc, he lies in his sack all day long, bores me silly with great moronic plots against the captain. He's never carried out one of them.
I haven't, huh?
No, Frank, you haven't. Whatever happened to those marbles you were going to put in the captain's overhead so they'd roll around all night and keep him awake?
Now you've gone too far. Now you've asked for it. What does that look like?
Five marbles.
Got another one in my pocket. Six marbles. I'm looking for marbles all day long.
Frank, you asked me what I thought of you. Well, I'll tell you. The day you finish one thing you started out to do, the day you actually put those marbles in the captain's overhead, and then have the guts to knock on his door and say, Captain, I put those marbles there, that's the day I'll have some respect for you. That's the day I'll look up to you as a man. Okay?
Okay.
Where's Dolan with my letter? I'm going to go find
him. No, wait a minute, Doug. Listen, I wouldn't send a letter like that in if I were you, boy. You're going to get yourself in trouble saying things like disharmony aboard this ship.
You know, if you didn't say disharmony or harmony...
Where's that letter?
I don't know, Doug Bones.
What's the big idea?
I just wanted to talk to you before you signed it. Please don't sign that letter, Doug. Now, please don't. They'll transfer you. You'll get your can shot off, boy. Doc, will you tell him what you were telling me last night about how stupid he is?
Yes, Doc. Maybe you'd like to tell me to my face.
Yes, I would. You are stupid, Doug, and I can prove it. You quit medical school just to get into this thing when you could be saving lives today. Why?
Has it ever occurred to you that the guys who are fighting this war might also be saving lives? Yours and mine, for instance. Well, right now, I'd rather practice that kind of medicine, Doctor.
Well, right now, that's exactly what you're doing.
Are you kidding?
Look, whether you like it or not, this sorry old bucket does a necessary job, and you're the guy who keeps lumbering along. You know, it could be that right here in this bucket, you're deeper and more truly in this war than you'd ever...
Doc, in a minute, you'll start quoting Ralph Waldo Emerson.
That is a lousy thing to say.
You've got nothing to do with the war. Maybe that's why we're on this ship, because we're not good enough to fight. Because our glands don't secrete enough adrenaline, or our great-great-grandmothers were afraid of the dark or something.
What is it you want to be, Doug? A hero?
Hero, Doc? You haven't heard a word I've said. Look, Doc, the war's way out there, and I'm here. Well, I don't want to be here. I want to be out there. I'm sick and tired of being a lousy spectator. I just happen to believe in this thing, and I want to feel I'm good enough to be in it.
Good enough, Doug. You're good enough. Just that you haven't the opportunity. That's mostly what makes physical heroism, opportunity. It's a reflex. I think that 75 out of 100 young males have that reflex. You take any one of them. Say even Frank Thurlow Pulver here. Put him into a B-29 over Japan. Do you know what you'd have?
No, I don't, Doctor.
You'd have Pulver's a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. Pulver, who single-handed shot down 23 attacking Sea Roads. Pulver, who with his bare hands held together the severed wing struts of his plane and with his bare feet successfully landed his mortally wounded plane on his home field. It's reflex.
It's like the knee jerk. Strike the patella tendon of any human being and you produce the knee jerk. Look.
What's the matter, Doc?
Nothing, but stay out of B-29s, Frank, my boy.
You made your point very vividly, Doc. I still want to get in this thing. And I'm going to keep on sending in these letters until I do.
Yes, I know you are, Doc.
I haven't got much time. That task force I saw was on its way to start our last big push in the Pacific. I'm going to catch it.
LCM's coming alongside. Will Mr. Roberts report topside immediately? Mr. Roberts, topside.
Doc, what are you going to give Doug for his birthday?
I hadn't thought of giving him anything.
I'm going to show him he's got old Pulver figured out all wrong. What does that look like to you, Doc?
Just what it is. Cardboard center, rolled toilet paper.
I suppose it doesn't look like a firecracker.
No, not a bit like a firecracker.
And I suppose that doesn't look like a fuse.
It looks like a piece of string.
Uh-huh. Well, you just wait till old Pulver gets through with it, boy. I am going to get me some black powder from that gunner's mate, and I'm going to... Oh, no, sir. No, sir. This is not going to be any peanut of a firecracker. I'm going to pack that thing solid with that stuff they use to blow up bridges. Fulminate of mercury. And, boy, on the night of Doug's birthday, I'm going to throw that under the old man's bunk and bam, boy. Bam! Ooh! Bam! Captain, it's me. It is I, Ensign Pulver. I just threw the firecracker under your stinking bunk.
Oh, Doug, the captain wants you to hang on to whatever fresh fruit you have left. He wants it for his own mess.
Okay, Tom.
And you better get braced for a storm, Mr. Roberts. Dolan took in your letter a while back.
Stand by the bow line, ready to cast off.
You fellas squared away?
Yeah, thanks, Lieutenant. Say, you wouldn't want to swap movies, would you?
Sure, what you got?
Hoot Gibson and the Sheriff's Daughter.
Show off.
LCN number two, come alongside.
Hey, Chief! Cochran just passed out.
Get him up here. Get to me here.
Listen.
Easy, boy. Easy.
It's murder down there, Mr. Roberts. Can't we take our shirts off?
Sure, take them off. Kennedy, get Mannion hand, get him back to sick bay. Go on, take your shirts off.
Thank you,
sir.
Mr. Roberts.
On the M-boat, watch it! Gotta get a fender over. Watch it!
The captain wants to see you on the bridge, Mr. Roberts.
Tell him I'm busy. Slammer, give him a hand on that line.
Watch it!
Stop.
This is what they want, Mr. Roberts.
One ton dry stores, one gross dung grease, 20 cartons toothpaste, 1/4 ton frozen food, fresh fruit if available. Scratch that.
They've been out 2 months.
Fresh fruit in 2 months?
No, sir.
Give them a couple of crates of oranges, compliments to the captain.
Sling ready, sir.
All right, take it away.
All right, mister. We'll have this out right here and now. What do you mean? Telling me you're too busy?
We were having trouble with the M-boat, Captain. You didn't want me to leave the deck with a ship coming in on us.
When I tell you I want to see you, I mean now. Mister, I mean jump. Understand?
Yes, sir. I'll remember that next time.
You better remember. Yeah. You think you're pretty cute with this letter, don't you? Trying to get me in bad with the Admiral.
No, I'm not, Captain.
What do you mean, writing disharmony aboard this ship?
Because it's true, Captain.
Any disharmony aboard this ship is my own doing.
That's true, too, Captain.
And it ain't going to be in any letter that leaves this ship. Any criticism of this ship stays on this ship. I got a good reputation with the Admiral, and I ain't going to lose it on the count of any letter that's written by some smart aleck college officer.
Ah. You retype this, see? And cut out that disharmony crack, and I'll send it in. But this is the last one. Understand?
Captain, every man in the Navy has the right to send in a request for transfer. No one can change the wording. That's the Navy regulations.
How about that, Dolan?
That's what it says in the book, sir.
Well, it's a stupid regulation. And we wouldn't stand for it in the Merchant Marine, I can tell you. All right. I'll send this one in, just as it is. But disapproved, like I always do. But there's one thing I don't have to send, and that's a letter that hasn't been written. And, mister, I'm telling you here and now, you ain't gonna write any more. You bring me one more, and you'll regret it the rest of your days. You've got a job right here. And, mister, you ain't never gonna get off this ship. Now, get on with your work. Where are your shirts? Where are your shirts?
Captain, one of the...
Shut up! Answer me, where are your shirts? Get those shirts on and be quick about it.
I'm sorry, put your shirts on.
Just 1 minute, mister. Who's captain of this vessel? That is the rankest piece of insubordination I ever seen. You've been getting pretty smart lately, buttering up to Mr. Roberts here, but this time you have gone too far. And I'm making you a little promise. I am never going to forget this. And as a starter, you're on report. Every one of you who appeared on deck without a shirt, on report!
Captain, you're not putting these men on report.
What do you mean I'm not?
I'm responsible. I gave them permission.
You disobeyed my standing order?
Thanks a million for the fresh fruit, Lieutenant.
You gave that man oranges?
Yes, sir, I'm afraid I did.
10 days! You just got yourself 10 days in your quarters. 10 days!
Very well, Captain. Do you relieve me here?
You heard me. You get to your cabin before I make it 20 days.
None of them both come alongside, Mr. Roberts. You want to port or starboard?
I've been relieved, Chief.
Where do you think you're going?
My room, Captain, for 10 days, or was it 20?
I'll tell you when you get to your cabin. Get back to your job.
Captain, you told me I...
Never mind what I told you. I'm telling you. Who's that? Who's that officer? You boy! Yes, you. Come here. Are you one of my officers?
Yes, sir.
What's your name again?
Ensign Pulver, sir.
Well, I'm glad to see that someone aboard this vessel knows how to salute. Pulver. How is it I don't see you around much, Pulver?
Often wondered the same thing myself, sir.
What's your job, Pulver?
Officer in charge of laundry and morale, sir.
How long have you been aboard, Pulver?
Fourteen months, sir.
Oh, spend most of your time in the laundry, huh?
Well, yes, sir. Most of the time... Yes, sir.
Well, you do a very good job, Pulver.
Thank you, sir.
Except for one thing.
Sir?
I don't like starch in my pajamas. You'll watch out for that, won't you, Pulver?
Yes, sir.
Fine. Well, you're doing very good work, Pulver. Yeah. You must come to my cabin sometime. And have dinner.
Oh,
cut it out. Cut it out, Doug. Now knock it. Knock it off.
Pulver?
Oh, cut it out. He's got a nerve.
Like all those solutions.
Oh, wait till next week, Doug. You just wait. Wait till next week he gets his laundry. You wait and see. Doug, I'm going to get some starch.
You know, some of that real thick starch, like they use on nurses' uniform. If I could be with you, I'd love you strong. If I could be with you, I'd love you long. I want you to know I wouldn't go.
And when old Robert says that, I thought the captain was going to lose his marbles.
Hey, look, it's not so, Robert. He's a...
Nice going, Mr. Roberts.
It was really beautiful the way you read the old man off.
You're going to send in another letter next week, Mr. Roberts?
He sure is. And it's my turn to shove it right under the old man's nose. Huh, Mr. Roberts?
Yeah, but you got a promotion coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, but could he stop that or something?
Promotion? This is Mr. Roberts. You think he gives a good hoot about another lousy strike?
Yeah, that's it.
We got to write a real hot one next week, huh, Mr. Roberts? We'll use asbestos paper.
He'll fix the old man's clock. You wait.
Yeah.
All men who have not been put on report for 3 weeks can now go swimming for 10 minutes. That is all.
Over the side. There we go. Hey, inside. What's out there?
How do I look, huh? Oh, you don't mind me borrowing your binoculars, do you, Doug?
It's okay, Frank. Will they get in your way?
Now hear this. Now hear this. Station launch coming alongside.
She's here. She's here. Now you guys stay away from that cabin, you hear?
Let's put it to that!
Let's put it to that!
Your permission to come aboard, sir?
Huh?
Where's the skipper?
Permission? Well,
never mind. I'll find him.
Request permission to come aboard, sir.
Yeah, well, permission granted. Hop aboard.
Hi. Request permission to come aboard, sir.
Huh? Permission.
Request permission to come aboard, sir. 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 Now, that's all. Lubina had to wash her hair, but she just loved to come another time.
Well, how would you girls like to sort of look around the ship while the lieutenant and I discuss a little business?
Uh-uh. Hey, point the noises!
Well, I wouldn't think of leaving them unprotected, you know. Right this way. Just pardon me. I'm right up here. There you are. That's it. There we are. Right here. Now, this is Doc. Girls, Mr. Roberts.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, and he's my...
Ensign Palmer here is executive officer. What's your job?
Laundry and morale officer. Glad to have you aboard.
Oh, are you laundry and morale? So am I.
Hey, well, then listen, Doug. Why don't you just take the girls off somewhere and tell them all about it, huh?
Gee, I wish I could, Frank, but I got to clean up. I did a lot of laundry today.
Sure.
Maybe Doc will show him surgery.
Oh, Doc. Oh, yeah. But girls, this is our surgeon, Doc.
Oh, really, Doc?
Yeah, and you just go right off with Doc. Well, don't let the gray hair and the baggy eyes bother you. He's a very likable, great sense of humor, Doc.
Yeah.
I'd be delighted to take these young ladies to the medical profession of my surgery. But unfortunately, we haven't had a chance to clean up since our last enemy action.
Come on, let's see the ship.
Hi. Hi. Flemish up the lines out there, will you, Donnie?
What?
Yeah, new man.
More salt, Cookie. Put some more salt there.
Now, girls, up here is where we have the anchor. Well, follow me right up here, girls.
Pleasure it.
Hello, men, as you were. Now, girls, this is the, and that's a gun.
Oh, man. Is this the Pope, Doc? Hey, you well, boys must be the lookouts. Could have bombed.
Oh, sorry, sir. Top secret.
Yeah, top secret.
Captain Short, miss, you know, bifocal.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, I can make an exception in your case.
Thank you.
Hey, Steph, look at the fish jumping over there, huh?
Yeah, it's a whale.
Yeah. A real interesting cloud formation.
Well, yeah.
You can see your hospital right from over the rail here.
Why, thank you.
And Culver. Huh?
Hey, I can. Why, you could almost reach out and... Oh.
Glasses. Well, you certainly can see Corbina.
Lieutenant, we gotta get back and hang those window curtains right away.
Ten hut!
Right haste! Hard hutch! Hut, two, three, four, hut, two, three, four, hut, two, three, four.
So long, harmless.
I was just getting the hang of this thing, too.
Yeah, now we got nothing to look forward to. Just that same cruddy island.
Look, you gotta rub it in. Why don't you shut up?
You gonna make me?
Shut up, Insignia. How did you find out?
Oh, we seen them taking a bath.
Through this glass, Mr. Roberts. We could see all of them.
You heard what she said. They're gonna hang some curtains.
Yeah. Gee, them nurses was pretty to look at.
Well, they got a 10-minute boat ride. You still got 10 minutes.
Yeah, but wouldn't be any fun when you know you're going to be rushed. This is the first real good day this bucket's ever had. It's all over now.
Well, maybe you got time then to listen to a little piece of news. Hmm? When, in all respects, ready for sea on or about 1600 a day, the AK-601 will proceed at 10 knots via points X-ray, Yoke, and Zebra to Elysium Island, arriving there in 7 days and reporting to the port director for cargo assignment. During its stay in Elysium, the ship will make maximum use of the recreational facilities of this port.
But that means liberty. That don't mean liberty, Mr.
That's
Roberts.
That's exactly what it means.
Somebody must have been drunk to send us to a liberty port. Have the old man seen them orders?
Saw them before I did.
But Elysium, where's that?
Yeah, where's that, Mr. Roberts?
Elysium. It's the largest of the Limbo Islands. It's often referred to as the Polynesian Paradise. Vanilla, sugar, cocoa, coffee, copra, mother pearl, phosphates, and rum are the chief exports.
Rum? You hear that?
Shut up! Elysium City, its capital, is a beautiful metropolis of palm-lined boulevards, handsome public buildings, and colorful stucco homes. Since 1900, its population has remained remarkably constant at approximately 30,000.
Wait till we get there.
Come on, Mr. Roberts, go on.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about ancient navigation and Elysium Harbor, offering excellent anchorage and docking facilities, is surrounded on three sides by beautiful green cloud-covered hills. The natives are noted for their congeniality and hospitality.
Wait, this is a nice port, huh, Mr. Roberts?
Yeah.
We finally made it, huh, Mr. Roberts?
Yeah.
You, on deck! Off! Get them cannibals off this vessel! Get them off!
Chief, will you tie this? It's been so long, I sort of forgot.
It's all right. What are you going to do when you get ashore, Booksy?
You'll probably go to the first saloon. Ice cream saloon, eh, Booksy?
Haven't thought much about it. I got my camera ma sent me. Guess I'll just wander around.
Hey, Lindstrom. Got good news for you. You can take off them Liberty Whites.
I got the duty tonight.
That's right. You and Mr. Roberts got the duty tonight.
Now hear this.
Here we go! Here we go!
This is the captain speaking. I just found out that there's men on this vessel expecting liberty. And I don't know how this rumor got around, but I'd like to clear it up right now. On account of cargo requirements and security conditions, which have just come to my personal attention, there will be no liberty while we're in this here port. That is all. Come in, Mr. Roberts. 28 seconds. Pretty good time. You see, I've been expecting you.
Okay, how about it? When does this crew get liberty?
In the first place, just kind of hold your tongue. I'm still captain here.
When are you going to let this crew go ashore?
I'm not. It was not my idea coming to this Liberty port. It seems one of my officers arranged it with a certain port director. Gave him a bottle of Scotch whiskey, compliments of the captain. The port director was kind enough to send me a little thank you note, along with our order. Sit down, Mr. Roberts. Now, I admit I was a little provoked about not being consulted. Then I got to thinking, maybe we ought to come to this port so you and me could have a little talk.
All right, take it out of me, but not of them, man. But you hear that music? Don't you know it's tearing those guys apart? They're breakable, Captain, I promise you.
Now, you listen to me. I've got two things I want to show you. That is the cap of a full commander. I'm going to wear that cap someday, and you're going to help me. Now, it won't do any harm to tell you that you helped me win that palm tree by working cargo. Now, don't let this go to your head. But when Admiral Finchley awarded me that palm tree, he said, "You've got a good cargo officer, Morton. Keep him at it. You're going places." And I went right out and bought that hat. And nobody going to stand between me and that hat. Certainly not you. Now, last week, it was agreed that there was to be no more of these disharmony letters.
I didn't say that.
Now, what do I find on my desk this morning? Another one. It says here, friction between me and the commanding officer. That ain't going in, mister.
How are you going to stop it, Captain?
I ain't. You are. Just how much do you want this crew to have a liberty? Enough to stop this friction? Enough to stop writing letters ever? Because that's the only way this crew was going to get ashore. This day, or any other day. Now we've had our little chat. What do you say?
How did you get in the Navy? How did you get on our side? Ah, you ignorant, arrogant, ambitious, keeping 62 men in prison. Because you got a palm tree for the work they did. I don't know which I hate worse, you or that other malignant growth that stands outside your door. How did you ever get command of a ship?
I realize in wartime they have to scrape the bottom of the barrel. Where'd they ever scrape you up?
There's just one thing left for you, mister. A general court-martial.
That suits me fine. Court-martial me.
You've got it.
I'm asking for it. If I can't get transferred, I'll get court-martialed off. I'm fed up. But you'll need a witness. Call your messenger. I'll say it all over again in front of you. Go on, call him. You want me to call him?
No. You're a smart boy, Roberts. But I know how to take care of smart boys. I hate your guts, you smart college guys. I've been seeing your kind around since I was 10 years old, working as a busboy. Oh, busboy, it seems my friend is thrown up on the table. Clean up that best boy, will ya? And then when I went to sea as a steward, people poking at you with umbrellas. Oh, boy, you boy, careful with that luggage, boy. And I took it. I took it for years. But I don't have to take it anymore. There's a war on. and I'm captain of this vessel. And now you can take it for a change. The worst thing I can do to you is to keep you right here, mister. And here is where you're going to stay. Get out!
What do you want for liberty, Captain?
You are through writing letters, ever.
Okay.
That's not all. You're through talking back to me in front of the crew. When I give an order, you jump.
Is that all, Captain?
No. Anyone know you're in here?
No one.
Good. And you're not to go blabbing this around to anyone, ever. Might not sound so good. Besides, I don't want you to take credit for getting this...
You think I'm doing this for credit? You think I'd let anyone know about this?
I gotta make sure.
Well, you got my word, that's all.
Your word, yeah. You college boys make such a great show of keeping your word. All right. Now hear this. This is the captain speaking. I've had further word on the subject of liberty. It gives me great pleasure to announce liberty for the starboard section commencing.
The whole crew or there's no deal. I mean it.
Correction. Liberty for the entire crew will commence immediately. I repeat.
You don't have to tell them again. Liberty. They heard you. Look at those crazy lugs. Just listen to them.
Bunch of real beauties for you this time.
And they walk.
Some of them can't even crawl.
Well, they're peaceful anyhow.
All right, lads. Come on, lend a hand.
Officer,
right.
Colonel Middleton presents his compliments to the captain, sir, and wishes him to know that these men made a shambles of the colonel's testimonial dinner dance.
You men crashed a dance for Army personnel?
Yes, sir, and they made us feel unwelcome.
Oh, the Army started a fight, huh?
Oh, no, sir. We started it.
And we finished it. Hey, tell Mr. Roberts how many of you Army bums is in the hospital.
38 soldiers of the United States Army have been hospitalized. And the colonel himself has a very bad bruise on his left shin. It's not all, Lieutenant. There were young ladies present, 50 of them, from the finest families of Elysium. Well, sir?
Well?
Two of those young women were somewhat mauled. One of them actually got a black eye. Six others had their clothes torn from them. They ran screaming into the night. They haven't been heard from since. What are you going to do about it, Lieutenant?
Well, I'm due to be relieved here in 15 minutes. I'd be glad to lead a search party.
No, sir. The Army will take charge of that end. Colonel Middleton will want to know what punishment you're going to give these men.
You tell him I'm sure our captain will think of something.
But, sir...
Call, Sergeant.
Thank you, sir.
Good night.
Yeah.
So long, you guys.
See you around, ladies.
So long,
see
you, Admiral.
So long, Max.
Thanks, huh?
Well, what have you got to say for yourselves?
Okay if we go ashore again?
What do you say, Doc?
Yeah, Doc! What about it?
Anybody got a fractured skull?
No, no. Nothing, Doc.
No.
They passed the physical. Go ahead and take a shower and get into some clothes.
Hey, we just got time to get back to the day.
Hey, Mr. Roberts. Drunk as a ghost. Show him how drunk I am. Mr. Roberts, when I first saw her, she was eating. And you know, she just eat her way into my heart. She was eating a little old palm tree. There you are, kid. Show!
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Oh. What's her name?
I don't know, sir.
She's got a nameplate.
Her name is... Property of.
What's her last name?
Her last name. Rare Animal Whitworth.
Okay, Dylan, hit the sack. I'll take care of her.
Okay, Mr. Roberts, see that she gets a good square meal.
Oh, come on, baby.
Hey, Kennedy, where you been?
Okay, you're relieved.
Request permission to go ashore, sir.
Lieutenant, did one of you men turn up with her? Oh, there she is. Thanks. Come on. Your papa's over there worried about you.
Say, Mr. Roberts, where's your relief?
He'll be along any minute now. Any minute now. What are you looking so cocky about?
Am I looking cocky? Maybe it's because for the first time since I've been on this ship, I'm seeing a crew.
What do you think you've been living with all this time?
The 62 separate guys. There's a big difference, Doc. Now, in one night, these guys are bound together. Doc, I think now maybe they're strong enough to stand all the miserable, endless days ahead of us. I only hope I'm strong enough.
Doug, tomorrow you and I are going over there and take advantage of the groundwork that's been laid tonight. You and I are going to give ourselves a liberty.
Hey, get a little colder.
Hello, Frank. How was your liberty?
I'm telling you true. I'd be anything but blue if I could.
Hello.
All right, you men know your post.
Off to the deck. I hope you don't mind, but I've stationed my men along your starboard side. I'm sorry, but this ship is restricted for the rest of its stay in Elysium. Your captain is to report to the island commander at 7 o'clock this morning. I recommend that he's there on time. Admiral's a pretty tough cookie when he's mad. Mad or not, I ever seen him.
What in particular did this?
Well, a little while ago, six men from your ship broke into the home of the French colonial governor. Started throwing things through a plate glass living room window. We found some of the things on the lawn. Large world globe, small love seat, a lot of books. Bust a Balzac. The French writer. We also found an army private, first class, who was unconscious at the time. He claims they threw him, too.
Through the window?
That's right. It seems he took him there for a little joke. He didn't tell him it was the governor's house. He told him it was a... Well, what we call in Alabama...
Yeah, we call it the same thing in Nebraska.
Well, that's about all, Lieutenant. If it makes you feel any better, Admiral Wentworth says this is the worst ship he's ever seen in his entire naval career. Good night, Lieutenant.
Night.
Are you all right?
Get up here, you idiot! What are you trying to do? Get up here.
I forgot my motorcycle!
Come back here, son of a...
The first time I ever been kicked out of a port. You're going to pay for this, mister. Now get that gangway up and we're going to get out of here.
Chief, bringing the gangway singled up all lines. We've been kicked out of port.
Books ran aboard, sir. They didn't come back last night.
Books, sir?
No, sir.
Get that gangway up, mister. And I mean now, Jack.
Yes, sir.
Books, sir.
I'm surprised at you, Bookser.
Yes, sir. So am I.
Where'd you meet her, anyway?
At a church social.
All night?
We went for a walk down on the beach, sir. We sat there and counted the stars. Honest, sir. That's all.
Better get below.
Yes, sir.
All prisoner accounted for, sir.
Right here, mister. Well, I guess you're mighty proud of yourselves, getting me kicked out of port that way. Well, we are going to erase this bluff from my record if we have to work 24 hours a day. Right, Mr. Roberts?
Yes, sir.
We are going to move more cargo than we ever moved before. Right, Mr. Roberts?
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Roberts is going to see to it that you men toe the line at all times. That's right, too. Isn't it, mister?
That's right, sir.
And you know as well as I do that Mr. Roberts is a man who keeps his word. And Roberts, you do a good job, and one of these days there may be a promotion in it for you. An extra little bar on that collar. That would be all right, wouldn't it, mister? Wouldn't that be all right, Roberts?
Yes, sir, if you say so.
You just heard me say so. Take over. See, they work up a sweat. I just gave an order. And they ain't had no answer. I'm waiting.
Aye, aye, sir.
That's better. That's more like it.
Deck division, break out the chippers and scrapers and get after that rust. Engineering division, air bedding, fallout.
He taking all that guff for?
Yes, sir. No, sir.
Aye, aye,
sir. Hey, killer. Do you really think he's bucking for promotion?
Who, Mr. Roberts?
He's just tired, that's all.
Promotion.
Yeah, that's right. He's just tired.
Oh, Mr. Roberts, I got something here. A little love letter from the Bureau came in just this morning. Hey, get a load of this. To all ships and stations, heightened war offensive has created urgent need aboard combat ships for experienced officers. All commanding officers are hereby directed to forward with their endorsement all applications for transfer from officers with 24 months sea duty. You got 29 months. Does that put old stupid behind the eight ball or don't it? Here's your letter, Mr. Roberts, all typed up and ready to go. Just the old John Hancock.
Hey, go ahead, Mr. Roberts. I want to hear him explode.
Yeah, he'll go right through the overhead.
Go ahead, Mr. Roberts.
I want to look it over first, Dolan.
What's to look over? It's just a standard form.
Dolan, I'm not going to stand here and argue with you. I told you I want to look it over. I'll get back to your typewriter before I put you on report. All right, don't just stand here.
Headquarters of the Supreme Allied Command in Europe. I repeat, there is no official announcement yet. The report that the war in Europe has ended has come from only one correspondent. It has not been confirmed by other correspondents or by SHAPE headquarters. But here is one highly intriguing fact. That report has not been denied.
Either turn that thing off, will you, Doc?
Or in SHAPE headquarters in Europe.
Doug ever said anything to you about wanting a promotion?
Of course not. I doubt if he's even conscious of what rank he is.
He never thinks about a promotion. All he ever thinks about is the war news. Anybody says he's fucking for another stripe is a dirty liar.
Who says he is?
And Signa and Mannion, some of those other guys. I heard them talking. Outside the porthole. You know, talking loud on purpose, so I'd hear them. Must have guessed I was lying here in my sack. What's happened to Doug anyway, Doc?
How would I know? He's spoken about 10 words to me in as many days. I'll find out, though.
He won't talk, Doc. I followed him all around the room this morning while he was shaving. I begged him to talk to me. I said, you're a fellow who needs a friend, boy, and here I am. And what's all this trouble between you and the crew? You know, you tell me, I'll fix it up like that. And I gave him a lot of good advice, you know, things like keep the chin up and, you know, things like that. Well, you know what he did? He walked right out of this room just as though I wasn't here. And I was here.
Mr. Roberts is turning out to be like an officer, ain't he?
Hey, boy, we thought you were in the Radio Shack listening to the war news.
Don't you want to go out to the wardroom and get a cup of coffee?
Yeah, sure, I'll go with you.
No, I don't want to. You go ahead.
Well, I'm not.
Will you get out anyway? I want to talk to Doc.
All right, I'm going for a cup of coffee. No, I'm not. I'm going up the Radio Shack and listen to the war news. You're not the only one interested. See you later, Doc.
Doc, transfer me, will you? Transfer me to the hospital on this next island. You can do it. You don't need the captain's approval. Just put me ashore for examination. Say there's something wrong with my eyes or my feet or my head. You can trump up something.
What good would that do?
Plenty. I could lie around that hospital for a couple of weeks. The ship would have sailed and I'd have missed it. I'd be off this ship. Will you do it, Doc?
Doug, what's really the matter?
I just put Dolan on report.
On report? Why?
Because I gave him an order and he didn't carry it out fast enough to suit me. No, that's not true. It's the war. I heard the news. War was ending and I couldn't get to it. There's Dolan giving me guff about something. All of a sudden I hated him. I hated all of them. If they think I'm bucking for a promotion, if they think I'd walk 10 feet across the room to get anything from that captain, I'm through with the whole ungrateful mob.
Does this crew owe you something?
What do you mean by that?
You talk as if they did.
That's exactly how I'm talking. Doc, that shows you how far gone I am. I've been blaming them for something that...
What? Something what? Doug, you've made some sort of an agreement with the captain, haven't you?
Agreement? I don't know what you mean.
Doc, turn on the radio. Turn it on!
This broadcast will bring you a special news flash. The war is over in Europe. The war is over in Europe. Germany has surrendered unconditionally to the Allied armies. The surrender was signed in a schoolhouse in the city of Reims.
I would remind you that there's still a minor skirmish here in the Pacific.
I'll miss that too. But this is the greatest day in the world. We gotta celebrate. How about it, Frank?
Yeah, Doug, we gotta celebrate.
What'll it be? Alcohol and orange juice or orange juice and alcohol?
No, Doc, that's not good enough.
No, it's not good enough, Doc.
We gotta think of something to lift this ship right up out of the water and turn it around the other way.
But Doc, I... You're gonna blow your lids when you hear this idea. Oh, what a sweet idea. You said I never finished anything I started. Oh, boy, you're wrong. Tonight I started something. I'm gonna finish it.
Frank, wait a minute. What is it?
A firecracker. We're gonna heave a firecracker under that old man's bunk and bam, bam, bam! Wake up, you unpatriotic old slob. It's VE Day.
Frank.
Did you ever see such a hand-painted, hand-packed firecracker in your life?
Oh, Frank, that's the most beautiful firecracker I ever saw in my life, but will it work?
Sure it'll work. Well, I think it will.
I mean, you tested it, Frank. It's gotta work. It's just gotta work.
I'll take it down to the laundry. That's my laboratory. I got all the makings down there. If this one works, I can make another one in 2 minutes.
Okay, Frank, take off. We'll wait here for you. Be sure you got enough to make it loud. Yeah. What do you use for powder?
Powder? This ain't no pop gun. It's a firecracker. I used fulminate of mercury. I'll be back in a minute.
Fulminate of mercury? That stuff's murder. Do you suppose he means it?
Ah, of course not.
Where would he get fulminate of mercury?
I don't know. He's pretty resourceful.
Well, how about a little drink?
Right. Doc, I've been living with the genius. This makes everything worthwhile. A whole year and a half he spent in his bunk. How else could you celebrate VE Day? A firecracker into the old man's bunk.
To better days.
Right. And to a great American, Frank Thurlow Pulver. Soldier, statesman, scientist,
friend of the working girl.
What was that?
I don't know what it was, Captain, but I'll try and find out. Hey there, up on the bridge. Is there anything wrong up there?
This may be pretty bad, Doug.
Jesus, that's terrific!
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm great! Gee, you should have been there.
You're not burned or anything?
No, but that laundry's kind of beat up. You know those laundry machines? They're clear over the other side of the room now. And there's a new porthole in the starboard side. The electric eye went right through. I guess a steam line must have busted or something. I was up by here and lather and all soap suds flying all around. It was absolutely beautiful.
Well, what was it? Has anybody found out?
It was the laundry, Captain. A steam line must have busted.
Any damage?
We can't get in there. The passageway is solid soap suds.
Well, tell those men to be more careful.
Aye, aye, sir.
Our celebration is just getting started. The night is young and our duty's clear.
What are we going to do now, Doug?
We're going down and get the rest of your stuff. You proved that it worked. You just hit the wrong target, that's all. We're going to make another firecracker and put it where it really belongs.
All of my stuff was down in the laundry. It all went up. I'm sorry, Doug. I'm awful sorry.
That's okay, Frank.
You're not sore at me now, are you?
What for?
Spoiling the celebration?
Of course not.
It was a good idea, wasn't it, Frank?
It was a great idea. I'm proud of you. This didn't work, that's all.
Where are you going, Doug?
Out on deck.
Well, wait. I'll get cleaned up. I'll come with you, Doug.
I'm going to turn in after that. It's okay, Frank.
He was happy there for a minute. You hear him laughing? Find out what's the matter with him?
No, he wouldn't tell me. But I know one thing he's feeling tonight. That's panic. Tonight he feels his war is dying before he can get to it.
I let him down. He wanted to celebrate, and I let him down.
We hope that the king and queen will come out. The crowd are cheering. Listen to them. And
At any second now, we hope to see their majesties. The color here is tremendous. Everywhere, rosettes everywhere, gay red, white, and blue hats.
Hey, what's all that jabbering on the radio?
I don't know, something about the king and queen.
Historic May evening. And although we celebrate with joyousness of far to great...
Steam line busted in the laundry. They're cleaning it up now. It ain't even worth going to see.
Come on, Dolan. Dolan, let me get you down.
Yeah, come on, Dolan.
Cheering madly...
Hey. What was the croquette things we had for Charon?
Nice rat.
It comes into view. Then the king in the uniform of an admiral of the fleet, the two princesses standing on the
balcony. Good evening. Listen to the crowd. You fellas hear the news? The war's over in Europe. Yes, sir, we heard.
Sure. Maybe somebody will get on the ball out here now.
Taking over San Francisco here in the Bay Area.
Dolan, I... guess I kind of blew my top. I'm sorry, I'm taking you off the port.
Whatever you want, sir. Well, guess I'll hit the old sack. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It's late. Didn't realize how late it was.
Yeah. They just run right out in front, stop these cars right here where they happen to be. Piled on, and we've seen as many as 25 on one sedan. We've seen as many as 10 to 12 on little coupes and roadsters. The old tires are just flat against the asphalt paving down here of these streets in downtown San Francisco.
I talked to you about 35 minutes ago. The picture's changed a little bit here in Times Square.
Our boys have won this victory today. But the rest is up to you. You and you alone must recognize our enemies. The forces of ambition, cruelty, arrogance, and stupidity. You must recognize them. You must destroy them. You must tear them out as you would a malignant growth and cast them from the surface of the earth.
Sound the general alarm! Sound the general alarm! Sound the general alarm! Off to the deck!
All right. Who did it? Who did it? You are going to stand sweating at those battle stations until someone confesses. It's an insult to the honor of this ship. The symbol of our cargo record has been destroyed, and I am going to find out who did it if it takes all night.
Symbol of our cargo record? What's that?
I don't know. Devonowski, find some battle station.
Hey,
come on, come on.
Come on. The palm tree is gone.
The
palm tree is gone.
Here.
Read me that muster list.
Abernathy.
No, not Abernathy.
Baker.
No.
Bartholomew. No.
Baker.
Connie.
Daniel.
O'Neill.
No, not O'Neill.
Halbach.
Halbach wouldn't have the guts. Go on.
Roberts.
That's the one.
Get him up here! Get him up here right now! Get him up here!
Mr. Roberts will report to the captain's cabin on the double. Mr. Roberts will report to the captain's cabin on the double.
Give me that! Roberts, you get up here in one quick hurry! Roberts, get a move on! I'm giving you an order! Do you hear me, Roberts? This is it! You get a move on and get up here, for this is finally the showdown. We are going to have it out right here and now. You hear, Roberts? Get up here now!
You want to see me, Captain?
You did it! Don't stand there and lie to me. Confess it!
Confess what, Captain? I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about because you did it. You double-crossed me. You've gone back on your word.
No, I haven't, Captain.
Oh, yes, you have. Yes, you have. I kept my part of the bargain. I gave this crew liberty. I gave this crew liberty. But you've gone back on your word. You promised me on your word of honor.
Well, I kept my word, Captain. I haven't written any more letters.
I'm not talking about your stinking rotten letters. I'm talking about what you did tonight.
Tonight? I don't understand you, Captain. What do you think I did tonight?
You know what you did. You stabbed me in the back. You stabbed me in the...
Will the doctor please report to the captain's cabin on the double? Will the doctor please report to the captain's cabin on the double?
Hey, Lindstrom, where's the old man?
He's sitting in a chair, leaning way forward.
What's the doc doing?
Doc's holding a wastebasket.
What wastebasket?
The one the old man's got his hat in.
Whoops, there he goes again.
They got him to the couch.
That's it. Now, we mustn't let ourselves get angry, Captain. We know that, don't we?
Look out, here they come.
We're not needing a stretcher now. Sorry.
Chief.
Yes, sir.
Pass the word to the man to secure from general quarters.
Aye, aye, sir. See you later.
Now hear this. Now hear this. Secure from general quarters.
Good night, Mr. Roberts.
Good night, Reaver.
Good night, Mr. Roberts.
Good night, Wiley.
Good night, Mr. Roberts.
Good night, Lindstrom.
Good night, Mr. Roberts.
Good night, Mr. Roberts.
Good night, Mr. Roberts.
Good night, Kennedy.
Good night, Mr. Roberts. Good night, Mr. Roberts.
Good night, Dolan.
Okay, Mr. Roberts. I'll take these down to the gangway. The boat from the island should be out of here any minute for you. I'll let you know.
Thanks, Gerhardt.
Never thought you'd be taking this trip, did you?
I'll be off this bucket before I even wake up.
They're flying you all the way to the Livingstone?
I don't know. Dispatch said transfer. Travel by air if possible. I guess it's all the way, though. They're landing planes at Okinawa now. That's where my can's probably running around.
Okinawa?
You be mighty careful, Doug boy.
Okay, Frank. Doc, I even got a destroyer. The Livingstone.
Now, I know a guy in the Livingstone. He don't think it's so hot.
Here you are, Mr. Roberts. I typed up three copies of the radio dispatch. I have to keep one copy, and here's two for you. You are now officially detached from this here bucket. Let me be the first.
Thanks, Dolan. Dolan, how about these orders? I haven't sent in a letter for a month.
Listen, Mr. Roberts, I can tell you exactly how that happened. You see, those guys in Washington need men awful bad for combat duty. So they started looking through some of the old letters and come across one of yours.
No, but you wouldn't...
Listen, Mr. Roberts, we can't stand here beating our gums. And the old man says... If he ain't out of here in 1 hour, I'll throw him off.
Is that all he said? That's all he said. After fighting this thing for 2 years, you'd think he'd say more than that.
Guard, I don't want no man closer than 10 feet. Understand?
What's that? A new botanical garden. Ain't you heard?
No.
When we anchored this morning, he sent Olson out with a special detail. Dug up a new palm tree. He's already set a 24-hour watch on that new baby with orders to shoot to kill. Oh, that reminds me, Ensign Paul, the captain wants to see you right away.
What about?
I don't know, sir. I'll come back to say goodbye later, Mr. Roberts. Come on, Ensign Palmer.
Yeah, I bet those guys down in the laundry starched his pajamas again.
Well, you're pretty happy, aren't you?
Yep. You're happy about it, too, aren't you, Doc?
Oh, I think it's the only thing for you.
What do you think of the crew now, Doug?
We're all right. I think they're nice guys, all of them.
Mm-hmm. How do you think they feel about you?
Oh, they like me well enough till the next guy comes along.
You don't think you're necessary to them, huh?
Doc, no officer's necessary to a crew.
Are you going to leave this ship believing that?
That's nothing against them, Doc. They're too busy looking out for themselves to worry about anybody else.
Well, take a good, deep breath, Buster. What do you think got you your orders? Prayer and fasting? Sending in enough box tops?
Dolan said one of my old letters turned up.
Bunk. This crew got you transferred. They were so busy thinking about themselves that they took a chance of landing in prison for 5 years, every one of them. You couldn't send in a letter for transfer, so they sent one in for you. They knew the captain wouldn't sign it approved, so they didn't bother him. They signed it for him.
Doc, what do you mean? They forged the captain's name?
That's it, exactly. It's quite a thing to see, Doug. The captain's name signing contest. Every man in the crew trying his best to copy that rabbit little scrawl, the captain's. Then the judges decided the winner. At the time, there was some criticism of their decision on the grounds that the judges were drunk. But apparently, from the results, they chose pretty well.
How'd you find out about it, Doc?
Well, it's a great honor. I'm the only officer aboard who knows. I was a contestant. I was also a judge. This double honor was accorded me because of my character, charm, good looks, and because the medical department contributed 4 gallons of grain alcohol to the contest.
One. Who signed it?
I'm not at liberty to say. Basically, they all did. And with just one idea in mind. To do something for Mr. Roberts.
Wish you hadn't told me, Doc. Makes me look pretty silly after what I just said. But I didn't mean it, Doc. I was afraid to say what I really feel. I love those guys. I think they're the greatest guys on this earth. And all of a sudden, I feel there's something terribly wrong about leaving them. Doc, what can I say to them?
Nothing. You don't know about it. After you're safely aboard your new ship, I'm supposed to write, tell you about it. And at the bottom of the letter, I'm supposed to say, thanks for the liberty, Mr. Roberts. Thanks for everything.
I'm the new cargo officer. And that ain't all. I gotta have dinner with him tonight. He likes me.
Come in. What's that?
Fire and rescue party. Are you got a fire in here?
No, but as long as you're here...
Oh, we got a false alarm then. In that case, we might as well drink this stuff.
What's the naff? New batch of jungle juice?
Yeah, in the handy new portable container. Everybody loaded? All right, you guys, you can come in now.
What is it?
Open it.
What is it, Doug?
It's a palm tree, see?
It was Downey's idea, sir.
Mannion made it. He cut out a sheet press down the machine shop.
Mannion drew the words on it, too. Stefanowski thought up the words. Booksy gets credit for the ribbon from a box of candy he got from his mother. Read the words, Mr. Roberts.
Order of... Order of the Palm. To Lieutenant J.G. Douglas Roberts. For action against the enemy. Above and beyond the call of duty.
It's very nice, but I think you got the wrong guy.
We know, sir. But we'd like you to have it anyway.
Okay, I'll keep it.
Stefanowski thought up the words.
Fine words.
The boat's here, Mr. Roberts. I put your gear in. They want to shove off right away.
Haven't had a drink yet.
No, sir.
We won't get any jungle juice aboard that destroyer, Mr. Roberts.
That's right, Dobby. Bye, Doc.
Bye, Doc.
And thanks, Doc.
Okay.
Bye, Frank. Remember, I'm counting on you.
Show off, you got it.
Mail call will be on the forward hatch immediately.
Mannion? Mannion?
Newspapers.
8 weeks old.
Pulver, pulver, pulver.
Ensign Pulver. We just heard. No movies again tonight.
Why not?
I said we was making too much noise. We wasn't making too much noise, Ensign Pulver.
Talk to him, will you, Ensign Pulver?
What, me? Talk to the cat, yeah.
Books, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Lindstrom?
Yes, sir.
Nolan?
Here, sir.
Stefanowski?
Right here, sir.
My mother. All she ever says is stay away from Japan. What's your news, Doc?
My wife got some new wallpaper for the living room.
Pretty.
Alabama.
Oh, that one. I shall read that one later.
Hey, Doc, this is from Doug.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What does he say? Hey, you guys, want to hear a letter from Mr. Roberts?
Yes, Murphy!
Dear Frank, this will be short and sweet, as we're shoving off in about 2 minutes. This was dated 3 weeks ago.
Does he say where he is?
Yeah, he says, my guess about the location of this ship is exactly right. Well, that means he's around Okinawa, all right. What else? You met Fornell. You know, that friend of mine, a guy named Fornell I went to college with? Well, that's what he says. Fornell says that you and he used to load up your car with liquor in Omaha and then sell it at an indecent profit to the fraternity boys at Iowa City. How about that? We did, too. This part is for Doc. I've been... Oh,
go ahead and read it. It's for both of us.
For Doc. I've been aboard this destroyer for 2 weeks now, and we've already been through 4 air attacks. I'm in the war at last, Doc. I've caught up with that task force that passed me by. I'm glad to be here. I had to be here, I guess. But I'm thinking now of you, Doc, and you, Frank. and Dolan and Dowdy and Insignia and everyone else on that bucket. All the guys everywhere who sailed from tedium to apathy and back again, with an occasional side trip to monotony. This is a tough crew on here, and they have a wonderful battle record. But I've discovered, Doc, that the unseen enemy of this war is the boredom that eventually becomes a faith, and therefore a terrible sort of suicide. And I know now that the ones who refuse to surrender to it are the strongest of all. Right now, I'm looking at something that's hanging over my desk, a preposterous hunk of brass attached to the most bilious piece of ribbon I've ever seen. I'd rather have it than the Congressional Medal of Honor. It tells me what I'll always be proudest of, that at a time in the world when courage counted most, I lived among 62 brave men. So, Doc, and especially you, Frank, don't let those guys down. Of course, I know that by this time they must be very happy because the captain's overhead is filled with marbles. And here comes the mail orderly. This has to go now. I'll finish it later. Meanwhile, you guys can write too, can't you? Doug.
May I see that, Frank?
Yeah, this one's from Fornell.
I'd rather have it than the Congressional Medal of Honor. Well, I'm glad he found that out. What's the matter, Frank? What's the matter? Frank, what is it?
Mr. Roberts is dead. This is from Fornell. It took a Jap suicide plane. It killed everybody in a twin 40 battery and went right on through and killed Doug. Some other officer in the wardroom. They were drinking coffee when it hit.
Coffee. Could I have that? Like to post it for the crew.
No. Post this instead. It's theirs.
And I just threw your stinking palm tree overboard. Now, what's all this crud about no movie tonight?
You have just heard the Best Plays production of Mr. Roberts. Best Plays is an NBC production supervised by William Welson, directed by Edward King. This is Fred Collins speaking. And this is NBC, the
National. Now, from the makers of Coldwater Omo.
Mrs. Peel was paying a visit to McCombie's funeral parlor. She interviewed McCombie himself.
Excuse me, do you happen to be the gentleman who dealt with the late Mr. Todd Hunter?
Todd Hunter?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yes, the mahogany and walnut, the velvet-lined solid brass handles, the Gothic style. I prefer the Corinthian fruited myself.
Well, I've come here to pick up his personal effects. I have a written authorization here. There won't be an autopsy, will there?
No, why should there be? The doctor signed the certificate. Thrombosis.
You didn't notice anything peculiar about the body?
Oh, slight bruise above the heart, that's all. His things are over... That's funny. It's gone.
What's gone?
One of those bleep gadgets for an answering service. It's gone, and yet I took it out of his pocket myself. His top pocket. It was clipped in his top pocket.
About level with the heart?
Yes. Yes, I suppose it would be. Just about on a level with the heart.
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
Episode 2 of this story, in which John Steed and Emma Peel attempt to play at bulls and bears, and there is more trouble caused by someone's ability to dial a deadly number. John Steed, investigating the strange deaths of several company chairmen, had called upon Henry Boardman, the merchant banker, and over sherry and biscuits, had got to know a little of the company's business. He'd met John Harvey, Boardman's partner, and been invited to a dinner party. On the whole, it wasn't a bad afternoon's work. Steed had asked for the name of a reputable broker, and had been put on to Frederick Yule. That was Steed's next port of call. Yule's office gave evidence of his favorite hobby, fishing. Cases of stuffed fish lined the walls, and even when Yule was working, he was sorting out fishing tackle, tying on dry flies while talking on a phone cradled between his jaw and shoulder.
It's declaration day tomorrow. The shares have gone down a pound. You have options for 10,000. So, I leave the arithmetic to you. Now, look, the intercom's going. I'll call you later. Yes?
Mr. Steed is still waiting, Mr. Yule.
All right, show him in, please.
Mr. Steed.
Come in, Mr. Steed, come in. That'll be all, Suzanne. Sorry to keep you, Mr. Steed. I understand that Boardman sent you. How is Henry?
Flourishing.
Yeah. What can I do for you?
Tell me, do you know a company called Castle's Tin?
Yes.
Well, Chappie in my club seems to think they're a good speculation.
There are two occasions in a man's life when he shouldn't speculate. When he can afford it and when he can't.
Yes, well, thank you for the advice.
That's not mine. Mark Twain. Now, he was another fisherman. There's nothing to touch it, you know, fishing. The thrill of pulling in a really big one. Do you fish, Mr. Steed?
Well, you might say I was always fishing around.
I can't get away as often as I should like, you know. Scotland, the place, you know. Caught a salmon last year, as big as... Well, it was pretty big. Now, can I offer you some sherry
and biscuits? Yes, thank you.
Yes. Suzanne, see to the sherry and biscuits, will you please?
Yes, Mr.
Yule. Now, where were we? Castle's Tin.
That's right.
Sturdy sort of company.
The friend who gave me the tip's having a lot of success on the market lately. Mm-hmm. But must admit, I don't understand how the shares have gone down every day, but he's still coining it in.
Yeah, can be done.
You can make money out of failure?
Ever heard of a thing called a put option?
Vaguely.
You take a put option when you think the share price is going to fall. You start by selling the shares, the price drops, or you hope it does, and you have an option to buy them back at the new low price. The difference is yours.
Complex. Definitely not for the amateur.
Yeah, very profitable when you pull it off.
The whole thing depends on the shares falling in price.
Yeah.
Of course, if you had the means of foreseeing the future and perhaps influencing...
Yeah, that would be another thing entirely. What was the name of the company your friend dabbled in?
Todd Hunter's.
Oh, stupid of me. Stuck a hook in my thumb.
I understand it was quite a killing.
Yule looked up from his fishing tackle in mild surprise.
Well, that is the correct term, isn't it?
Shame, Mr. Yule. I think you should know that Amalgamated Industries are down 2 points. And Ben Jago's on the phone. Shall I have him put through to you here?
No. I'll go outside and speak to him. We must buy 20,000 Amalgamated at once. I won't be a moment, Mr. Steed. Help yourself to sherry. Suzanne will show you some investment prospects while you wait.
Suzanne poured the sherry and handed Steed a glass. Then she took from a filing cabinet a sheaf of papers.
I think I should explain. I'm just a babe in the financial woods. Perhaps you could help me with the finer points.
Well, I'll try.
Steed perched himself on the desk, very near to Yule's secretary. Keep your eyes on the folio, Steed.
This is just a suggested portfolio. It means that your capital would be spread equally through the key industries. So much in steel, so much in oil, so much in industrials, and so on.
Fascinating.
This suggested scheme would mean an initial investment of about £50,000 in round figures.
Round figures, eh?
Not those kind of round figures, Steed.
There really isn't much more to explain. It's all straightforward enough. Our investment suggestions are carefully selected, tried and tested.
By Ben Jago? He is a client of yours, isn't he? His name is banded around the city as a man to watch.
Oh, yes, he's very successful. One of our best clients.
How does he do it? Crystal ball? Foresight? I mean, he does dabble a lot in put options, doesn't he? Always one jump ahead, sensing when the market's going to be just right.
Well, experience, I suppose. Nevertheless, it is uncanny sometimes, like his last success.
Oh, and that was?
Todd Hunter and Company. He took out options a week ago, holding them for 100,000, and it paid off. Still, that's Ben Jago for you.
It was inevitable that John Steed should find his way to the bar of the Bull and Bear. That's where the money action is, and that's where one had a jolly good chance of meeting Ben Jago. A loudspeaker was giving the latest information as Steed entered and headed for a corner table.
Coppers were quietly firm, but made a mixed showing. Oils hardened, but rubbers were neglected. Banking and insurance shares were on the dull side.
Oh, waiter! What the devil is a blue chip special?
Oh, it's one layer of prawns, one of scrambled egg, mayonnaise, and lightly toasted rye bread. I can recommend it, sir.
Good, then at least one of us will enjoy it.
A coffee, sir?
A quinoa with just a dash. A vodka to start with.
Thank you, sir. Of course you share it while you're waiting?
It'll take far too long.
Anything further, sir?
Yes, is Mr. Ben Jago in here?
Oh, yes, sir. There he is, sir. Look down there at the end of the bar, making notes on the back of an envelope. That's Mr. Jago.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, waiter.
Steed tipped the waiter, casually picked up his newspaper, and noticing a very attractively dressed woman leave Jago's side, moved across to the stool. Jago was still doing calculations when Steed said,
Excuse me, aren't you Ben Jago?
Yes, that's right.
We share the same broker.
Charlie Bingham.
No, Yule, Brian Yule.
One can't be too careful. Sit down, Mr.
Steed, John Steed. I do apologize for the interruption.
No, not at all. They put you into Gibbs Electronics?
Not yet, no.
Well, see, they don't. Don't like the smell of them.
Oh, well, thank you for the tip.
You're a vodka, sir.
Oh, thank you. No ice.
House rule, sir.
Really?
Oh, a dealer from Wall Street once asked for a bourbon on the rocks. Two brokers dropped dead on the spot.
Tell me, Jago, how is all this done? I mean, it's as remote as water dividing to me.
Oh, mainly by guess and good luck.
Oh, I don't believe it. Ben Jago, one of the shrewdest in the city. That's what my guidebook says.
Then it's time to buy yourself another guidebook.
No rules you can offer me?
Buy when they're friendless. Never wrong to take a profit. They're only half-truths.
All of them. How do you know about Todd Hunters, for instance? I mean, that was more than a half-truth.
It was a hot tip from our broker.
Wish he'd told me about it.
Patience, Mr. Steed, patience. Devil a lot of fiddling before Rome was burned, you know.
Yes, well, just remember if there's a fiddle going on, I'd like to get in on it.
Don't take too many risks. Remember, even Nero got his fingers scorched. Good day, Mr. Steed.
Mm-hmm. John Steed wondered vaguely what Mrs. Peel had been up to. He hoped she wasn't branching out on her own and getting into trouble. Knowing Mrs. Peel as he did, that was a forlorn hope. She'd been checking on the possessions of the late Mr. Todhunter, and when she'd found out that the transistor receiver that he carried for the answering service was missing, she immediately started to check up. In the foyer of Warner's answering service, she paused at the desk and rang the bell.
Oh, good afternoon. I'm J.P. Warner of Warner's answering service. Can I help you?
Yes. I'd like to know more about the service you offer.
Oh, splendid in its simplicity, Miss...
Mrs. Peel.
Ah, yes. The scheme operates along the lines of many used in hospitals. Subscriber carries a bleep on his person. And then if he's ever wanted, the machine bleeps and he takes a radio message telling him who wants him and what the telephone number is.
What's the range of this service?
The scheme is, in the main, confined to the City of London.
I see. So it's more or less limited to brokers and financiers, etc.
That's the idea.
At that moment, a man came down the steps. He held a tool bag in one hand. Emma frowned. He looked familiar.
You ought to be all right now, Mr. Warner. Needed rewiring, that's all.
Oh, splendid, Fitch. Splendid. Thank you.
Who was that man? Anyone important?
Oh, no. No, Fitch is the resident mechanic. Quite bright. Backroom boy in the war, I'm told. Now, Mrs. Peel...
You supplied one of these bleep devices to a relative of mine, a Mr. Norman Todhunter. Tell me, Mr. Warner, did you ever get it back?
Should we have done?
Yes. He died. It's missing. I wondered, did you ever get it back? Well, Mr. Warner, did you?
Avengers. Listen every evening, Monday to Friday, to John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers, brought to you by the makers of Cold Water Omo.
Tonight on the Swag Guest, we're also introducing a new serial, Flash. Ah! Savior of the universe. Yes, the Flash Gordon serial, gotta love that. Gotta love Mongo. Gotta love the movie from the 80s. Anyway, I'm kind of excited about the Flash Gordon serial. Enjoy!
Presenting for the first time in radio, the amazing interplanetary adventures of Flash Gordon and Dale Arden. These thrilling adventures come to you as they are pictured each Sunday in the Comic Weekly, the world's greatest pictorial supplement of humor and adventure. The Comic Weekly, now printed in 32 tabloid-sized pages, each page in full four colors, is distributed everywhere as a part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Racing high above the earth, comfortably seated in a giant airliner, Flash Gordon, internationally famous athlete, looks admiringly across the aisle at Dale Arden, the lovely young companion of his air voyage. The minds of both are intent on the terrible destruction which for many months has been approaching the earth with terrific speed. The new planet hurtling through space directly in the path of the Earth. Suddenly, there's a violent jar. The plane lurches into a spinning nosedive. Flash Gordon's trained muscles carry him across the aisle to the frightened girl. He gathers her in his arms and leaps free of the falling plane, and pulling the ripcord of his parachute, glides to Earth.
Don't be frightened, Dale. The plane has crashed, but we're safe.
Yes, thanks to you.
Hold fast. We're landing now. Careful. Easy. There. Are you all right, Dale?
Yes.
Good, good.
Oh, look, Flash. There's a round steel tower. Where can we be?
Why, that's the laboratory of the great scientist, Dr. Hans Zarker. He's coming this way. I'll call to him to help us. I hope you'll pardon us for breaking in on you so unceremoniously, Doctor, but you see, we had to bail out.
I know you for what you are, spies. Come to steal my secret. But I have the answer to that. Come with me.
Put that gun away, Professor Zarkov. The man is mad, Dale. We'll have to humor him. All right, Professor. All right. We'll come with you.
Step down this ladder into this tower. Down, I say.
All right, all right.
There now. We are in my rocket ship. And in 10 seconds, we will be on our way to the new planet. We will all die. Die for science.
Oh, Flash, the doctor is mad. His rocket ship is rushing away from the Earth with the speed of light, right into the path of the new planet.
Hold tight, Dale. We'll escape somewhere.
To the new planet. To the new planet. We three will save the Earth,
Dr. Zarkov. There's still time to bring your rocket ship out of the path of the new planet.
No, no, no.
what will you gain for science if we're all killed in the crash?
I know who you are, Flash Gordon, the world's greatest athlete. But your trained strength will not save you. Only my mind, the mind of Zarkov, the scientist, can save you, can save any human soul upon the Earth.
Be careful, Flash. He's reaching for the controls.
Stand aside, Dr. Zarkov.
Feel it, the gravitation pull of the new planet. We crash in 5 seconds.
The rocket ship hits the planet. Dr. Zarkov and Dale are thrown from the rocket ship unconscious. Flash is thrown clear of the wreckage and lands on his feet, uninjured. He rushes to the side of the unconscious girl, picks her up, and starts to carry her toward the distant towers of a city on this weird new planet. Suddenly, strange soldiers armed with ray guns appear, and capturing Dale and Flash, force them to come with them to the throne room of Ming the Merciless, Emperor of Mongol and Supreme Ruler of the Universe.
Thou exalted Ming, most merciless majesty of Mongol, supreme ruler of all the peoples of the new planet, thy slave salute thee.
Slave, sing for what the earth people.
Thy slaves obey, O Ming the merciless.
Take your hands off me. I'm no slave. I'll meet your emperor as a free man and an equal.
So, Earthman, you are a free man and my equal. Throw him to the red monkey men in the arena. I would be forced with this free man, my equal.
There is thy freedom, Earthman. Now you go into the arena to meet the red monkey men of Mongol.
Don't worry, Dale. Emperor Ming, I'll show you that I, a free man from the Earth, am more than a match for your brainless red monkey men.
Flash reaches the bottom step leading to the arena. He leaps and swings at the nearest red monkey man. Then, grasping the falling man beast under the armpit, Flash whirls him around as a flail, knocking the others in all directions. Emperor Ming, fearing that his monkey men will all be killed, orders his soldiers to destroy Flash with their ray guns. In the midst of the confusion, Princess Aura, the beautiful young daughter of Emperor Ming, calls to Flash.
Quick, brave Earthman, this way, here to my balcony.
Flash leaps to the royal balcony and joins the gorgeously jeweled princess, who commands the slaves to keep back, while she takes Flash through a secret door and into a passage leading to a private elevator. The two get in, and Aura closes the door and presses the switch.
Who are you, beautiful maiden?
I am the Princess Aura, only daughter of Ming the Merciless.
Princess, I owe you my life.
You are brave and handsome and strong. You must not die so young. I have never seen anyone like you, Earthman.
Where I come from, Princess, there are many stronger men and better looking. But tell me, Princess, where are you taking me?
I am taking you to the private landing frames of my own rocket car. There you will be safe. We have arrived, Earthman. Get in this rocket car. No one can harm you here.
But, Princess,
hurry,
I don't...
Hurry,
The Prince of Error. How am I to rescue the Earth girls? They are lost.
That is why you are in my private rocket car, Earthman.
Why, what do you mean?
They are and shall never be rescued by you.
The princess!
And for you, Earthman, you shall love me or die.
Meanwhile, back in the palace, Emperor Ming is talking with Dale Arden.
Yeah. Companion Flash Gordon has escaped, but not for long. My men will soon capture him.
What are you going to do with me, Emperor Ming?
You are pleasing to me, Earthwoman. You will become my wife.
Never! I don't love you!
We men of Mungo have no human traits, no love, no mercy, no kindness. Whether you love me or not makes no difference. You shall become my wife as soon as the ceremony can be arranged.
Your Majesty, look into the spatiograph. Our city is being bombarded by the space gyros of the Lion Men.
The Lion Men order the entire space fleet to the attack.
In the terrific battle which takes place between Emperor Ming's space fleet and the gyros of the Lion Men, the attacking gyros are driven off. The rocket ship in which Flash Gordon has been held captive is destroyed, and Flash is thrown to the ground unconscious. He opens his eyes to find himself staring up into the great bearded face of Thrun, Prince of the Lion Men. Thrun lets his great sword fall as he sees Flash Gordon's white skin.
Who art thou, white-skinned youth? Speak. Answer me before I cleave thy white body in pieces. Art thou a new kind of soldier of Ming the Merciless?
I am the sworn enemy of that fiend Emperor Ming of Mongo. He has captured a girl who is from the Earth, like myself. I live only to rescue her.
An Earthman, thou sayest?
Yes.
And an enemy of Ming the Merciless.
That's right. Tell me, are you friend or enemy?
I am Thun, Prince of the Lion Men. Hereditary enemies of the men of Mongo. If thou wilt accept me as thy friend, Earthman, I will gladly join thee against Ming the Merciless.
Here's my hand on his entrance soon.
Good. What is thy name, Earthman?
I am called Flash Gordon upon the Earth, Your Highness.
Call me Thun, friend, and I will call thee Flash.
Friend Thun, you know how we can gain admittance to the palace that we may rescue Dale Arden?
Come. I will show thee a secret way into the palace.
Ah, good.
The Emperor Ming is away pursuing my gyro fleet. We may be able to rescue the Earth Girl before Ming returns.
Flash Gordon and his powerful newfound friend go first to the space gyro of Prince Thun, and there they gaze intently into the thought projector, in which they not only see Dale Arden a captive, but they also have revealed to them a secret way leading to the throne room of the palace. The secret passage is known as the Tunnel of Terror because of the deadly beasts which lie within its gloomy walls. Fighting each step of the way, Flash and his new friend Prince Thun finally find themselves within the palace. A door with great steel bolts stands before them.
Quick, Thun! This door must lead directly into the center of the palace.
From my memory of the palace, I should say that beyond this door is the great throne room of the Emperor Ming.
All right, then. Here we go. Ah, there. All right, Thun. It is the throne room.
Yes. This great statue before us is the god of death, which stands at the top of the altar steps. Directly behind the throne of the Emperor.
Listen. Thun, what's that?
By the great god Tao. It is a royal wedding procession. Ming the Merciless is taking another bride.
They're coming up the altar steps soon. I'm going to look around the idol.
To look around the idol means death. Thou must not.
Come back. Come back, Flash. Thun, save yourself. I'm going to the rescue of my Earth friend, Dale Arden. She's being forced into a marriage with Ming the Merciless.
Prince Thun of the Lion Men does not save himself at the expense of his friend. If thou must die, I will die fighting with thee.
Dale! This way, Dale! Dale! This way, Dale!
Down this passage, Earth Maiden, as fast as thou canst run! Quick,
Thun, they're swarming up yonder. Help me topple the idol over them. Now, one, two, three!
With a grinding crash, the giant idol topples over on the onrushing soldiers of Ming the Merciless, killing those in front and throwing into confusion the whole company. Flash Gordon and Prince Thun, with Dale between them, dash into the secret passage beneath the idol. The way becomes steeper. They slip and fall down, down, 100 feet or more into a whirling underground river. They're swept along down a raging current and over the falls into a lake. With the powerful strokes of the champion swimmer, Flash sets out for the shore, towing Dale by the hair. They reach the shore, and as Flash reaches down to drag Dale to safety, he screams and disappears beneath the calm surface of the lake, clutched in two powerful green, scaly arms. With no thought of his own safety, Flash Gordon dives to Dale's rescue and finds an adventure stranger than any which has gone before.
Have a good evening. Come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwick from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Stevie Farnaby.